Welcome to Freedom to Choose with Rich and Susan Collenberg. Freedom to Choose is brought to you by Just As I Am Ministries, a nonprofit that gives hope and help to those lost in addiction. Rich and Susan are a husband and wife team who found grace and freedom from 20 years of addiction to drugs and alcohol. They broke free from their bondage 15 years ago and are here to share their experience of God's power in recovery. God can change lives. Now, here's Rich and Susan with Freedom to Choose.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program today. My name is Rich Collenberg.
And my name is Susan Collenberg.
We hope you're having a good day today. Are you having a good day today, Susan?
Yes, so
that's
far
good.
So good.
So am I. I actually have energy today. I feel good.
It's good.
Good. So enough about me. What are we going to talk about today?
Today we are going to talk about bad behavior and is it addictive?
Is it addictive or is it compulsive or people just do it just to do it or what's up, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Let's begin, of course, with a word of prayer.
Okay. Our loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us this day. We pray that you will help us to understand the differences between good behavior and bad behavior. And Lord, we just want to have right minds. And so we pray that you'll impress upon us the ways that are good and right in your sight. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, we previously did a program asking the question, what was worse, a substance behavior or a substance or behavioral addiction? And we got such a good response from that program that we thought we would just simply do a program today on exploring behavioral addictions. Now, as we look around us today and as we look back in history, there's story after story of people, cities, nations, whose corruption and descent into moral chaos were directly related to their lack of self-control. Have you ever felt a lack of self-control in your old life as well? Have you ever been chained to something that you really, deep down inside, don't want to do? Kind of like you have a yoke around your neck, maybe? You know, a yoke used to be, in ancient times, was used to control a slave or a prisoner. The hands and neck were placed in a stock resting upon the shoulders. The prisoner was led about by the master, and that's the key phrase. The prisoner's led about by the master.
Right. So in Romans 6:16, it says, "Do you not know that you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves? You are a slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness."
And that's interesting that the Bible puts it that way, because as we're finding in the research that we're doing about addictions and alcoholism and drug addiction and whatnot, is once you give yourself over to a substance or a behavior and begin to change your brain, you become that behavior or that substance's slave.
Right. And it could be anything.
And Jesus said, remember when he went to the Pharisees and he said that you're in bondage, and they said, "We have never been in bondage to anyone."
Right.
And he said, you're in bondage to sin and you don't even know it. And that's the sickness about sin, is
right,
when you're caught up in it, when you're doing things wrong and you're a slave to that behavior, you don't even realize it. And they said, we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anyone. And he said, oh, yes, you are.
Right. And it's just like we were talking about last week and how people are in bondage to food and can become food addicts.
Yeah, food addicts. I'm going to read an interesting story here. This is a story I came across by Lisa Miller in Women's Health Magazine. It's from a couple weeks ago. It's a true story, of course, but the names have been changed, of course, to protect the innocent. Anne, we'll say, was a 34-year-old when she thought she'd found her soulmate. Never mind that she was already married with three kids at home. This new guy, actually her former high school English teacher, made her laugh. He exhilarated her. He got her. A school teacher herself, Anne started slipping out of work early to meet him. It was incredible, exciting, and miserable all at once, she says. Just like falling in love, except it wasn't quite love. Fueled by a soon insatiable hunger for the high that comes with a new romance, Anne began jumping from affair to affair. Yahoo Personals was literally her gateway to satisfaction in her small conservative town. She had standards, of course. Her boyfriends, as she thought of them, couldn't be married, even though she was. And she responded only to suitors who were highly educated. Of course, she was a teacher, after all. Eventually, she was sneaking out while her husband slept. She bought secret cell phones and hid them all over the house and in her car. It got crazier and crazier, she says. I needed more and more. The urgency was, she guessed, similar to what crystal meth addicts must feel.
She wasn't far off. The driving forces behind compulsions like Anne's are surprisingly similar to and can be just as detrimental as what makes an alcoholic crave booze or a drug addict jones for a score. But whereas drinks or pills are easily measurable, behaviors are not.
And that's what's interesting. So you can't really put your finger on a behavior and measure it like you can how much you drank or how many pills you ate or how much, you know.
Right, because the consequences aren't as easy to recognize.
Exactly. And they're hard to see. You can do things discreetly and stuff.
Right.
Now, thanks to a culture obsessed with obsessions, behavioral dependencies to things such as gambling, stealing, shopping, exercise, sex, yes, and love can balloon from common indiscretions into destructive threats before people realize they're in trouble. Anne's story may seem sensational, but cases like hers are increasingly documented, and countless people are now addicted to compulsive behaviors. So prevalent is gambling addiction, for instance, that it's included in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM, better known as the Psychiatric Bible.
Substance addictions, of course, are a big problem as well. More than 23 million Americans are addicted to drugs or alcohol, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and more people than ever are hooked on prescription painkillers.
And we did a program not a while back about prescription painkillers, and one of the big problems is that children are getting hooked because parents are being over, well, I don't know if they're being overprescribed, but there's a ton of pain medication out there prescribed for the parents, and then so the children see it's in the medicine cabinet, mom and dad take it, it's all good.
Right, and I think just exposure in itself lends to things being okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are some really, really powerful prescription drugs out there.
Well, you know, it's just like, I thought it was okay to smoke because my mom and dad smoked. I had no idea that there were homes where smoking was thought of as the worst thing you could do to your body. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I grew up with it, and it was just a normal part of life.
The same thing with alcohol in my family. I had no clue that nobody else, there were other people that didn't drink. I mean, that was just
normal. Or would never think about doing that, right?
Yeah. See, it's hard to reflect on your tendencies when you're addicted to something. People confess addictions to things, you know, and in fact, it almost becomes, you almost joke about it. You know, I'm addicted to this, or I'm addicted to Pepsi, or I'm addicted to nail biting, or, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And so, but you would never run around saying, you know, I'm addicted to meth. You wouldn't talk about that in casual conversation, like you might say.
Nail biting.
Yeah.
Right. Typically, the term addiction is used to describe using a substance repeatedly over a period of time, despite knowing its negative consequences to the well-being of the person. This repeated use leads to psychological dependence.
Okay. The word addict is typically used to refer to someone who's dependent on alcohol or drugs. However, doctors and psychologists state that addiction doesn't need to be limited to substance, but it can also include the activities or behavior. This kind of addiction, which we call it behavioral addiction, but it also has another name. It's called process addiction, too.
So behavioral addictions have the same symptoms as drug addictions and alcoholism. Behavioral addictions alter mood by creating a euphoric feeling or a high.
Now, this feeling, this high, is caused by the serotonin or the adrenaline released in the brain when a person either uses drugs or alcohol or engages in addictive activity. The brain then seeks to recreate this experience despite any negative consequences related to it. The need to repeatedly go through the experience to get the chemical high results in the individual being trapped in a compulsive process or a compulsive behavior. Now, the National Institute of Health states that the genetic factors are significant in the development of an addiction too. This means that the brains are genetically predisposed to certain amounts of dopamine production in the brain. So dopamine, we've talked about it before, it always comes up in addiction. It's a neurotransmitter that's a key factor in the addiction process. The way that we produce dopamine, the triggers, and the conditioned responses affect our behaviors and addictions. Not only does dopamine relay the sensation of pleasure, but it also motivates our behavior via expectations. And we've talked about this before. If you like doing something, and you think about doing whatever it is you like doing, dopamine starts to go in the brain.
Right, so in anticipation of that behavior or that activity, it gets you excited, and the expectation alone is what starts that addiction.
You know, I think every time I think of dopamine, I think of little Donnie. He's a little friend of ours, and they used to live up the road from us. And all during the winter, he could hardly wait till the first day he wore shorts.
Right.
You know?
He would beg his mom to wear shorts.
He said, no, you're not wearing shorts. It's too cold. And so he, every time he thought about it, he'd get all pumped up. I want to wear shorts. You know, and you could just see him get all. And the first day that he wears shorts, he comes running across the meadow, just running as fast as he can. Mr. Rich, I'm wearing shorts. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had the dopamine in my brain like that little child did. Because and so he gets excited about it, and then when it happens, I mean, it is a great big day.
He can't contain himself.
But God created us this way so that we can enjoy pleasurable activities.
Right.
And to get excited and motivated about them.
Right. There's nothing wrong with the system. It's how we perverted the system.
Yeah. When we mess with it, then we can never
seem
to get
out of whack.
We can't never seem to get that pleasure that God intended us to have because we mess our brain chemicals up.
Exactly. Once a certain amount of dopamine is released while engaging in an activity that triggers the release, the brain cells get accustomed to having that amount of dopamine present. As the brain gets accustomed to the stimulation, it requires more and more dopamine to achieve the same effect.
So then when the dopamine-producing behavior is finally stopped, the brain it's not used to the lower dopamine levels. And that causes the cravings, and that causes the withdrawal symptoms. Addicts who use a substance or perform an activity on a regular basis will start to develop a tolerance for that substance. This means that the person will need more and more of the drug or the activity in order to feel the desired effects. Now, with behavioral addictions, that can mean more risk-taking to up the dopamine levels, or more frequent participation in the action. And just as in drug addiction, the withdrawal developed in a behavioral addiction refers to the negative physical and emotional reactions felt by the addict when the behavior is stopped. I remember I overheard you talking to someone the other day. A little girl asked you what withdrawal was.
Oh, right.
And what did you say? It was something about it's just like you really, really want to, you watch a program on TV, but
right,
you're grounded or something.
Or a video game.
And you're grounded, and mom and dad say you can't do that, what you really want. And
it's that longing that you feel to do that behavior.
We used to call it a hankering. Yeah. So.
And the relapse syndrome indicates the addict's inability to reduce or stop indulging in the activity despite the negative consequences. Just like the story you were telling earlier, this lady was putting herself in increasingly dangerous situations and just morally wrong situations. And because of her addiction, she, no matter what it was, the risk taking just kept getting higher and higher and higher.
Yeah. The logic and reason. See, so it doesn't have to be a drug. Because, see, we can talk about a drug addict and say, how on earth can they do that?
Right.
You know, and they're easy to, I mean, you know, they don't look well. Look what they're doing to their body. Look what they're doing to their family. But these behavioral addictions are the same way. Look what she did to her family.
Right.
look what a gambler might do to his family and his bank account, you know, and so it's all compulsive behavior that we teach ourselves to do, and the more we do it, the more we like it, the more we like it, the more we want it, and it's the dopamine, and it's all the brain chemicals. We teach our brain to do bad things, and then once
right, and then you get into the cycle, and you can't break the cycle of the bad behavior happening.
You can't, can you? Which no. brings up lying. Could lying be a behavioral addiction?
Yes, it is.
How would you know that lying would be a behavioral addiction?
You always like to bring this up.
I like
up,
to bring
I've
brought it up
funny.
Probably 10 times on this
I
program.
Know.
It
I,
is funny, though, to hear you say, why did you lie?
Because
you were a liar.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I lied even if I didn't have to lie, I would lie. Because that's who I was. That was my motive of behavior. And so I did it because... That's what I did.
That's what you did.
Exactly.
And that's the interesting part about changing our brain to right. accommodate a certain behavior because we like to do it or we feel a necessity to do it for some reason.
Right. So there came a point where I had to consciously choose to tell the truth.
And that was hard.
Absolutely. Because I had to totally reorganize and set my brain into recognizing that I didn't have to lie.
And so
you're looking at
I'm trying to figure out if I could just pickle her brain, but she's thinking the same thing to me. She went to college and took what'd you take? Psychology, so she could figure me out.
It didn't work.
No. Now after she got clean, I'm proud of her. After she got clean and sober, she went. I don't know what you got in
bachelor's degree.
She got a bachelor's degree. Well, I mean that's a big deal for a recovering drug addict to go back to college and get a degree.
Right.
And then try to figure me out. Okay.
Where are we at?
Am I getting lost here?
Yes. Do you know where we're at?
No, you know
what? Believe it or not, behavioral addiction can include things like shopping, sex, internet, television, or food. All these activities are a natural part of most people's lives and do not have any negative impact.
But when an individual is unable to control or stop an activity, despite experiencing adverse consequences, there's a good chance they're addicted to it. It's as though there's an invisible line in which a person has lost the ability or the freedom to choose. For example, they no longer want to shop, but they need to continue to shop to regulate the brain chemistry. Very often, such a person knows that his impulse is misplaced, wants to stop, but is unable to do so. Do you know when you became an addict?
No, I don't.
You can't put your finger on when you crossed the line, or is there a line that one crosses? I think so. I don't know in regards to alcohol when my issue was, but I do know... When I did my first line of cocaine, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I did not care how much it costed. I wanted more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it did to me,
mm-hmm.
however it made me feel,
mm-hmm.
I simply justified it that this stuff is not that bad. In fact, this stuff is good.
But I think what happens is that, you know, you say you don't know when it was alcohol. And I think what happens is that once we start altering our brain chemicals, that's you're an addict at that point, and then you're just moving from
I moved from
to
one
another.
To another,
right.
And that's a very important point because I know that if I had not been drunk, I would not have done the cocaine.
Right.
You know, it
right.
took, and it was like 4 or 5 years of being a really bad drunk before I got involved in the other drugs.
Right.
So a lot of times we think that just because we've moved from one substance or one behavior to another that okay now I'm okay, but we just exchanged one for another.
Right. Do you remember what you told me?
Yeah, when I quit drinking, I was all proud of myself quitting drinking. She goes, oh really? Yeah,
because you said you weren't an alcoholic
I'm not
anymore.
An alcoholic anymore. Oh yeah, so what do?
But you were a meth addict.
I'm just a
instead.
Meth addict now. Yeah, but that's better. Yeah, because now I'm not an alcoholic.
Right.
Yeah, big deal. What about people pleasing?
It's kind of like we're going throwing darts back and forth at each other. What's
that all
about?
We got so much dirt on each other.
What about work?
No, what about, let's go back to people pleasing. Yes. Well, we can go to work with you too.
Well, yeah, let's stick on people pleasing. It's
yeah,
a part.
That's a behavioral addiction.
Absolutely.
And we both have that. We want to make everybody happy.
Right.
You know,
I think that's a good trait to have. It's just when it becomes obsessive or it becomes to the point where it becomes detrimental to you or the people around you, then that's an issue.
Or you're trying to mind read and say, I wonder what that person wants to hear.
Right.
You know, if I could just tell them what they want to hear.
Right.
Then they will like me.
Right.
And that's dangerous.
Then you start doing things for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing is work. I mean, we're created to
work.
Be happy doing a good day's work.
Yes.
And work hard and feel good about working hard and be proud of what we've accomplished. And there's a good, you know, to do a nice job, there's a good sense of pride, mm-hmm. and there's a good sense of, you know, I know with myself, I'm just so thankful that everything comes together every day.
Right.
And it does. I thank the Lord that every time it does come together, that He's in charge. And what about the need to be in control?
What about it?
we can
that's skip
a
that.
Real
Let's skip that one.
Source point, sore spot there. There's television, you know. There's maybe shows. I know for me that I probably could do other things rather than watch this certain program on television.
What's,
yet I still will
to,
do that.
I want to get to this next.
What
one.
Do you want to get to?
The
oh,
next.
She. What about what?
Being on time.
The necessity to be on time.
Yes.
I'm trapped inside my own brain with this one.
Yes.
It's terrible because, especially if it's going to an airport or some... Oh, it's horrible. Because I have to... She doesn't have a clock in her head. But I have one in... Wait, what are you laughing like that for? She does... I mean, she just goes along and... But myself, I've got to be... I mean, if you're on time, you're early. If you're early, you're on time, and if you're on time, you're late. That's
right.
That's where I'm at. So really, that is a bad behavioral addiction that I have. But it's one of the things that I deal with.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't like to be late. Well, my dad was that way. Maybe that's where. Could there be a can't be late gene?
Yes, a genetic tendency.
A genetic tendency.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to kind of run out of time. Can we do a behavioral addiction checklist?
Number one, frequent engaging in the behavior to a greater extent or over a longer period of time than intended.
Okay.
Persistent desire for the behavior or for one or more unsuccessful efforts to reduce or control the behavior.
Okay.
Much time spent in activities necessary for the behavior, engaging in the behavior or recovering
from
its
effects, especially over exercise,
gambling,
yeah, financially recovering, things like that. What about frequent preoccupation with behavior and preparatory activities?
Yes.
Okay. Frequent engaging in the behavior at the cost of fulfilling occupational and academic and domestic and social obligations.
So
and
what about using work as an excuse?
Exactly. See, and I know I have that one.
You got that
I will
one.
Use that. I will use work as an excuse so I don't have to go talk to this person or go see that person.
Yes.
Okay.
What about giving up or limiting important social, occupational, or recreational activities
because of the behavior, yeah. Continuation of the behavior despite having persistent, reoccurring social, financial, or psychological problems exacerbated by the behavior, or the need to increase the intensity or the frequency of the behavior? Or what?
Restlessness or irritability if unable to engage in the behavior.
Right. You know, when I think about chocolate when I talk, that is that a behavioral substance addiction?
Probably both.
I think about that because,
It's so common.
It's so common. And, of course, we're almost out of time here, so we better wrap it up. But there are many behaviors out there, folks, that... cause once we get trapped in them, once we change the brain chemistry and we get trapped in those behaviors, it's like they can control us and we don't control them. You know, the Bible says that perilous times will come in the last days. People will be without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. The Bible says avoid such people. God wants you to be in control of your life. Remember, folks, there's only two ways to live your life. One is like nothing is a miracle. The other is like everything is a miracle. And you have the freedom to choose.
Thank you for listening to Freedom to Choose. There truly is hope for anyone whose life is in captivity and being overrun with the devastation of addiction. Rich and Susan are living testimonials and have created a 7-step biblically based handbook and a recovery workbook to move those you love toward freedom. If you'd like to order the Addiction Recovery Workbook for someone you know, or if you're a member of a church and you'd like to create a ministry in the area of addiction, Rich and Susan can help you get started. Please call Rich and Susan at 916-645-1297 or go to www.justasiamministries.com. As a nonprofit, they are blessed by people like you. 916-645-1297 or www.justasiamministries.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.